You know, as a church, we've been given the commission to go in the world and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, this time was really a time of recommissioning. And it's always just good to be reminded again why God has called us to this city, why God has called us to the nation. So I want to say to you that you're part of a great plan, a global plan in the nations. And so I really just want to just, over the next couple of weeks, you know, I'll be sharing a little bit of some nuggets, things that we have received from this conference. And, you know, yesterday I shared a little bit with the men. And but friends, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what God is doing, but also dreaming for our city. You know, how many of you know that God's got a dream for our city? God has got a dream for this nation. You know, this nation played such an important part in history to reach the nation. And this is why we're here, friends, is to unlock that Irish destiny again, to go and make disciples and make a difference. I want to just pray before I start this morning, share God's word with you. Father, we want to thank you that we can gather here. We thank you for the privilege of being family, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in every nation, what you're doing in the nations, Father. We thank you for our spiritual families all around the world now, this morning, worshiping you, Father. Some in nations like Iran, Afghanistan, and Father, in the Middle East, some underground churches, Lord, and Father, that is, Lord, believing you, God, for a miracle, for a breakthrough, Father. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the nations, Lord, and we can be part of your global plan. Lord, we pray this morning, Father, that you will speak to us. Father, we thank you that you're drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Father, for what's on your heart and what you want to communicate, Lord. Speak through me this morning, God. I humble myself. We humble ourselves before you this morning. And we pray that your will be done, Father God, in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, this morning I want to continue our series. We started a series several weeks ago and called Character. And you know, I felt, you know, really God wanted to sharpen our character. How many of you know that we need good character? You're not just in spirit. And as we walk in the spirit, God has also given us, you know, a soul. And there's some things that he wants to sharpen, remove in our lives, but also sharpen us. You know, and that is what we see is the mark of a disciple. And that was Jesus' mission. You know, on earth, he wanted to come and give us heaven's blueprint. How many of you are looking for heaven's blueprint? And God has made this clear through Jesus. Jesus was the representation of the Father here on this earth. And, you know, as some of you know, a couple of months ago, we had the privilege of visiting that beautiful place called the Mount of Beatitudes around the Sea of Galilee. And that's our team. Some of our team members are here this morning, I think so. But we had the opportunity just to spend some time at some of these locations where Jesus, his ministry, was thriving at that time. And so Jesus went up this mountain, well, this mount. It's really like the highest hill around that area at the Sea of Galilee. And he had an important message. He had an important message, and it's called the Sermon on the Mount. This is the most famous message that was communicated by Jesus in Scripture. And so as these people that was following him came to rest on these hills, there's a, you know, Jesus was communicating some things about the kingdom that was very important. Things that it was just, you know, that they had to grasp. And, you know, because why is because he wanted them to be fruitful. He wanted them to get an understanding of what the kingdom of God is about. Jesus was all about changing the world. Jesus was all about seeing transformation in lives and in hearts. And so I want to just us to look at Matthew 5 again. And this is the Sermon on the Mount, where we brought this message. So the main purpose of this sermon, friends, as I said, you know, God wants to give us a kingdom perspective. How many of you are looking for a kingdom perspective? How many of you need to be challenged on your perspective of life? You know, we all have understandings of what this life should be like, but you know, but this is Jesus because he's so mindful, not just about your present, but your future. And he wants you to get this understanding about who he is and what he wants to give and what he's already given you. And so for us to release that, and it was as what Caleb said this morning, and he didn't read my notes, but it was when further down in Matthew 5, it talks about being salt and light, being a city on a hill. And that is that's his desire, is that we will represent him. That we'll be, as a church, put on a hill to reflect his beauty and his splendor. Friends, he wants to make you beautiful, and you are. And so for us to shine, I really believe it's a time to shine. I really believe more than ever what we see in the world and in the evil and the things that's happening, it is a time to arise. It's time for the church to arise, to take that position. And there was this seriousness as well at that moment, at that time when Jesus articulated and communicated this message and said, church, get this. I want to say to you, get this morning. Take hold of this morning. This is the blueprint. And, you know, Jesus really wanted us to get the best out of life. How many of you want to get the best out of life? How many of you just don't want to survive? How many of you want to make a difference where you at, in your workplace, in your marriage, in your relationships? He wants us to be fruitful. And so he's just saying here in Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And it's interesting where Jesus just took them to this hill. He went up the mountain. And so I just feel like sometimes it's just time for us just to get up to Cave Hill or get up to a place where we can just look down, not because you're closer to Jesus, okay, or to God. But I believe that he wants to give us a fresh perspective. It's a new view, a place where we can just look, you know, and just come from where we at and just reposition ourselves. And this is exactly what he did. He wanted to give them that new perspective. And so a lot of them left there with purpose. How many of you want to know your purpose? And here through the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he gave them purpose. He deposited something in them, seed that will go forth and multiply and change nations and change people. This was not a selfish gospel. It was a selfless gospel. Seed is meant to be sown, to produce. And that is what Jesus saw in these people. So this was God's desire and intention from the beginning, that man and woman in creation would display and reflect his glory. How many of you know about Adam and Eve? In the beginning, that was his plan. He put them in this fruitful place, a fruitful garden. And he wanted them to reflect the beauty of his creation. And we know what happened in that garden. There was a separation that came between man and God. Not that God pulled away. It was more man was hiding, because there was things that he allowed into his life that brought separation. But God knew the potential. And what I want to bring and share with you this morning is about how God also, you know, pursues and puts things back in place in our lives. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? How many of you are thankful for the gospel? That through the gospel, you know, through God's grace, there's a second chance. How many of you know that God is the God of second chances, third, fourth, fifth chances? It's a wonderful God we serve, my friends. So, let's go to the next slide. I know this is kind of get stuck here. I want to share a message with you this morning, is pursuing purity. Pursuing purity. You know, even as I came here this morning, we saw a bit of rain. Now, we are not, this is not an uncommon occurrence here in Ireland, okay? But I just felt this morning as I was praying that, yeah, really God just wants to wash over us. He just wants to purify us. You know, sometimes we come in our journey with God, you know, things, it's like a car going on a gravel road and there's potholes and things just, you know, the car just gets covered in dirt. And that's the same in our lives. How many of you know that life is not always fair and, you know, things happen. And, you know, and so this morning I feel God just wants to come and wash over us. I had a moment this morning, early this morning. I didn't go up a mountain. I didn't go up Cave Hill, right? But I had a moment in my room as I was praying, and I saw these hearts, and this person was just painting these beautiful red hearts. And I was praying about that. I felt that was what God wants to do, is that He wants to just, you know, that red heart, just painting over. And that's the cleansing that God brings. How many of you know that His blood washes whiter than snow? And that's the cleansing that God wants to bring in our lives, is that He gives us a pure heart. And I want to just go to that one scripture in Matthew 5. And it says here, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them." In verse 8, and this is what I want to focus on this morning. "Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see Me." Read that again. "Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see Me." I really believe that God wants to have communion with us. Our relationship is so important to Him. He's a relational God. He'll do anything to maintain and keep that relationship. He'll do His bit. And that's why He sent Jesus. We're going to discover more about that. But purity is important to Him. And because God says in His word that He said, "Be holy because I'm holy." And that's something that God wants in our lives, is that we will walk in purity before Him. And, you know, we notice, the first thing we notice and learn from this beatitude is that Jesus is concerned with the condition of the heart. Very important that He mentions the word heart. And, you know, why is it so important to Him? Because I believe that the heart is the most important organ in our lives. We all have a heart here, and what is the heart? You know, somebody said, you know, God bless your heart. What does it mean? I believe the heart is a soul, and what is a soul? It's a mind, the will, the emotions, and the heart is a soul that is submitted to the Spirit. How many of you know that God is Spirit? So God has given us a soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, and it's His desire that the soul is submitted to His Spirit. There'll always be a battle over your hearts. It's just something that we've seen through Scripture, and men, amazing men of God. I think about David and his battle with some of the things that he encountered in his life, struggles that he had. And there's times that, you know, there was a clear battle over his heart. And I want to say to you, friends, there's a battle over your heart. From the moment that you were born, and in your life, there's just the enemy wants to take your heart captive. He wants to pollute your heart. He wants to take that heart captive, because he knows a devoted heart to God is dangerous. When our hearts are aligned, when we live fully devoted to God, he doesn't want us to be passionate. He doesn't want us to have this heart of love and have this compassion towards the broken. And so it is His mission, assignment, is to contaminate our heart, to make our hearts harden, to harden our hearts towards people and just life, and just to become miserable. And so I've discovered just as a believer and how God comes, and when you give him permission to come and cleanse your heart, how he goes into these different areas and just reveals things and brings things to the surface. And that's what I feel like he wants to do this morning, is that we can search our heart and that he'll bring things to the surface and allow him to purify us. And 1 Peter 2 verse 2 in the Message translation says here, so clean your house. Love this. So clean your house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up and become mature and whole in God. So two things, becoming mature and whole in God. Tell somebody, grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. That's what he's called us to do. And so what I've discovered of God, that he's amazing. He's an amazing neurosurgeon. You know, he's somebody that that goes to that areas in our lives and just cut away, and as you allow him. You know, my dad had an open heart surgery about 2 years ago, and he went through this time where he had these irregular heartbeats, and it was very difficult for him at times because, you know, the heart will just go in this palpitation, you know, like and he'll just get anxious, and so they had to rush him to hospital several times. And so he had to have this open heart surgery, and after that he was back out. Another month later was the same thing, and they had to actually bring him to this place where they had to shock his heart. And so what they did in that moment, that shock brought his heart into alignment and getting that rhythm back. And so I believe this is what God wants to do, not to shock your heart, but it's just moments when we come into God's presence that he brings alignment. That he brings his heart, our heart and his heart in alignment as we allow him. And we can come to that place and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be vulnerable. And some of you that might feel uncomfortable because naturally you're not a vulnerable person. You're not just a person that shares and opens up about things. You might be very closed. But I believe that what Father is doing is that he's putting his finger on some areas of your life and your heart that is might feel a bit uncomfortable and maybe a bit painful as well. But it's a good season. It's a good place to be in, because that's what he desires, is that your heart is fully devoted and there's things that is just that he wants us to get rid of. Where your heart might felt a bit entangled, but that's what he's doing. He's just untangling that and removing some things. Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, what is he saying here? That he will cleanse our heart and he will give us a new heart. How many of you know that when we become a Christian, we become a new creation? When we give our life to God, and that's a process of the cleansing, the sanctification, what happens in our heart. There's a change. God is not just interested in your outer appearance. He's interested in your heart. That is the thing that matters to him. So what he does, he changes us from the inside out. And so as he starts changing our hearts, you know, we start sounding, you know, we things that comes out of our mouth sounds different. And that's what he's doing. He's taking us deeper. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Friends, I believe Jesus came into this world because we have we've had such a dirty hearts that he that needed to be purified. Obviously, he came to give us purpose, but part of it is that that the world was such in such a mess. You know, how it started off in the garden and how things went, and it just went in a different direction. God said, I'm just bringing order. How many of you know that God's a God of order? And that's what he did. Is when we allowed him, said, Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. Come and change me. And that's where he comes and brings order. You know, we visited this place. It was a Canaanite city. We went into this town, and we've noticed quite a few things there in the house. One of the houses in this Canaanite city, there was this big rock. And we just take, there's a slide there. And this rock was right in the center of this house. It was very noticeable when we walked in. And we asked our tour guide, Andre, about this. And he said, well, this is actually an idol in the middle of this house. And so at the time, there was a lot of idolatry. If you actually read about that time, that's the time where the spies went into the land, Caleb and Joshua. But we came across this idol. And this is the things that they put in the middle of their homes. And you think about the journey, you know, where they started and how they just took their eyes off God. And how they came to this place and started to worshiping false gods. I mean, there was a place in that city where the actual Ark of the Covenant used to stand right there. It was beautiful. But right next to the Ark of the Covenant, where it stood, there was like this pagan idol that was right next to it. And so that's the thing that we see where they, for a moment, they have taken their eyes off God. And they followed other gods. They've invited these things into their homes. And these are the things that are now taking the center, that's taken the center in their lives and in their homes. And friends, I know that that's how many of us will encounter, you know, will be experience some of these moments where we got to make some decisions, you know. It's very simple where God said if you stick to these commandments, if you stick to this blueprint, if you want to have a blessed life, right? That's why he started that be if you want to be blessed, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see me. That blessed, there's more than just the blessing. Blessing means to be happy. It's more than happy. The blessing is an inheritance that we've received that he wants us to pass on. That's the thing that God was so mindful of, that, you know, this is not just for us. This is something we receive. It's the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's, you know, when God thinks about us, he thinks about generations after us. You know, the choices that we make can have an effect on the generations after us. And so I believe with obedience comes blessing. I believe with disobedience comes a curse. And so God is just saying, you know, on the Mount of Beatitudes, you know, if you want to be blessed, live a pure life. If you want to be blessed, walk in this. These are commandments. This is a framework, not because he's a controlling God, but he's a God that loves us and wants us to be a blessing, to represent him. And to reflect him on this earth. And so we've seen how they have deviated from God's promises, God's commandments. And you know what? The result of that city, friends, it is in ruins. Let me tell you, when I walked in that place, there was little grasshoppers. I mean, you know, think about that scripture, where Caleb, the spies that went in, the 10 reported, said, we're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And as we walked on that path, there was these little grasshoppers, I'm not kidding you, was jumping all around this footpath. And so I know that because of the result of their disobedience towards God, the curse came. That city is in ruins. That was the last time. You know, it is desolate, broken down, burned down, destroyed. And So, you know, friends, maybe our idols, you know, things that is in our lives, you know, it might not be a rock in the middle of your home, right? It might not be something looking, sticking out, or big Buddha, or whatever, but it might be different things, things that can become idols in our lives. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, the idols, you know, what are the things? What are the things that can become idols in our life? I believe technology. I believe our phones, you know, the internet, things like that's just occupying our attention. Our focus is on that thing. It's just taking our time. It's draining us. The internet, that has taken center stage in our lives. You know, I want to ask you, what has taken center stage in your life? What are the things that God wants us to rid our lives from? Right, I had a great story recently when we were in the States. And the story is about a well-known New York restaurateur owner called Pat Setter, who taught a new and young restaurateur, Danny Meyer, a very important life lesson. While sitting around one of Danny's tables in his restaurant, and while in conversation with Pat, you know, he took this salt shaker and he started just moving this salt shaker around, and that kind of irritated him, Danny, a bit. You know, think about that. I know if you guys just have that moments when people start moving things around in your house. I had a mom like that. I used to come back from school and then my bed was in this direction. The next week it was another, and she changed the decor in the house. It's just, she's quite a perfectionist. But in this situation, as he was sitting and the salt shaker was moved around, he just got so irritated by this guy that's just moving it around. You know, so he said this, your staff and your guests are always moving your salt shaker around. You know, he said, people in your life will often move things around in your life. And this will irritate us. He said, that's their job. Okay, sometimes they, you know, God uses those moments. It says, you know, what he then kept doing is that he moved the salt shaker to the center of this table. And there was a story from this. And the story is in life, people will try to move things around in our lives. But we have to keep moving the thing that's the most important to the center. I mean, if you're sitting around a table and there's no salt, it's annoying, right? And so what he said through this is that in the same way, what we have at the center is important. And God needs to be the one that's at the center. He's that salt shaker that should be in the center of our tables. And in life, there's, you know, we will get situations where people will start just moving things. You know, situation. There's important things that we bring things into our home. And what are we putting on the tables? What are we putting in our hearts? What are the things that should be at the center and is not? So through this, you know, we were really challenged at the conference, you know, just for allowing God to search our heart and say, Lord, what is at the center of our table? Help us to move the thing that's the most important, you, to the very center of our lives. What is occupying our hearts? And so we had a moment really to search our heart. Lord, search our hearts, align it, bring it in alignment with your heart, because we want you to be at the center of our lives. We want you to be the centerpiece of our lives, of our families. There's just the next slide there. I love this by Leonard Ravenhill. He said, the greatest miracle God can do is to take an unholy person out of an unholy world, make them holy, put them back into the unholy world and keep them holy. Friends, that can only be our God. That he can take us. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of the gospel. That's the good news. That God can take us
in that state, in that condition. And then He can make us holy. And He puts us into this world to represent Him, to reflect Him. So this morning, I want us just to think about some of the things in our lives. What are the things that we can just say, Lord, I want to get rid of this. These are things that I need to lay down. These are things that I need to rid myself from. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. So we know that our heart is like a fountain. It's a spring. It can be contaminated, and you know, you realize the things that come out of your mouth, the bad talk, the words, the attitudes, it reflects in your character. And those are the things that God wants to help us with. How many of you know that we've received a helper in the Holy Spirit? My goodness, we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot manufacture this. Oh, I want to be holy now. It's like, no, Holy Spirit, help me to look like Jesus. Help me to walk like Jesus. Help me to be more like Him, to reflect Him. Friends, I believe that blessing is a reward and result of living a pure life. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, because they will see me. And that's the one thing that will try and come between our intimacy and our relationship with God, is those things of this world. But I believe it is a reward, it's a result, it's a choice that God puts before us. It's something that we should desire. I believe if you are desiring it right now, I believe that is the Holy Spirit at work in you. I believe that's the Spirit of God working in you, because He gives us a desire for holiness and purity. It's who He is. It's the nature of God living in you. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So if Christ, the Spirit of God, resides in you, He gives you that desire to live a pure and holy life. Desire what is beautiful, what is honorable in God's sight. We came into the kingdom having had our old nature crucified to the cross, but we have to learn how to get rid of the bad habits of the old nature and learn how to live in freedom. As I said before, it's a journey to freedom. The old nature is dead, but what you might be dealing with is the old habits of the old nature that might still be there and operating in your life. As I said, you know, we've been brought out of Egypt, but there's still Egypt in us. And so those are the things that God wants to reveal to us, not to condemn us. It's just things that you know, God doesn't like, that displeases God. And so when you understand His heart, it's just, His heart is for us to be pure. He said, you know, Romans 6 verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we've died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. Friends, I believe that some things in our life is going to lose its power and stronghold. I believe this. And that's what I'm going to pray for this morning, that some of the things in your life are going to lose its power. I believe when we confess our sins to one another, when sin is brought to the surface, it loses its power. It loses its hold in our lives. Just stand with me this morning. I'm just going to pray. Ephesians 5 verse 15, it says, yes, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Father, we thank you that, Father, for your Spirit this morning. Father, we thank you that your presence are here. And Father, we pray that prayer as David prayed, Lord, search our hearts, O God. Father, I just pray that you'll, Father, help us to identify just some things in our lives, Lord, that is displeasing in your sight, God. Father, we want to be holy because that's what you command. You say, be holy because I am holy, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that this morning that you will create in us a pure heart, oh God. And Lord, even that picture that you showed me earlier, God, about the rain coming down, washing the city, but also just as you were painting that heart, so I pray that you'll just paint over our hearts, Lord, this morning. Come and cleanse our hearts this morning, Lord. We open our hearts and we say, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives and we ask you to cleanse us, purify us from the inside out. We want to look more like Jesus. We want to reflect him in this life. Lord, we want to be that example to people in Jesus' name. Because Father, we do this because Lord, we want to see you, Father. We ask that you'll help us to commit to Father, purity, to walk in purity, to walk in holiness, to say no to sin, Father. Lord, we ask, Lord, even to this morning, Lord, that as we come and we're going to take from this table, Lord, we repent, Lord. We repent of sin. We repent of opening ourselves up and putting idols in our lives, in our homes, Father. Lord, I pray that you reveal to us the things, Lord, that we need to throw out, Lord Jesus, that offends you, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are at work in our lives this morning, that you are here. Thank you that you're revealing to us, Jesus. And we want to imitate you, Lord. We want to, Father, take that message on the mount, on Matthew 5, and Lord, apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the blueprint, Lord God, to get the most out of this life, but most importantly, to advance your kingdom, Father, to reflect your glory on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Father. Your word says, who may ascend the holy hill of the Lord, those with clean hands and a pure heart. And we just want to cleanse ourselves before you. We cannot do this on our own, so we invite you, Holy Spirit. Just invite the Holy Spirit wherever you are. Just say, Holy Spirit, here I am. And just say to him, I allow you to put your finger on areas of my life that I need to surrender. Come and wash over my heart. Maybe just put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, I dedicate my heart to you. I want this heart to be pure. I want this heart to reflect your beauty, your splendor. In Jesus' name, give me a dislike for anything that does not represent you, that is contrary to your kingdom. I said you will change my heart of stone into heart of flesh. Maybe some of you have hardened your hearts. Father, just pray that you'll do just the deep work in hearts this morning. I pray that you'll bring some soul care, bring some healing, deep healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I almost see like some of you, you just got this sadness on your heart, and you're like, I'm just not happy. I'm just not experiencing that blessing that you've been sharing about, your heart. Blessed being happy. I want that. Father, I pray for every person here, God, that they will experience, Father, that happiness, that joy, Lord, that you will fill their hearts with joy in Jesus' name, and to remove the sadness, a deep mourning, that you'll walk them turn their mourning into dancing in Jesus' mighty name. Break that over their hearts. Break every constraint in Jesus' name over hearts. Lord, come and touch their hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for inner healing, Father, a deep work in the hearts of your people. And Lord, I prophesy, Lord, that rivers of living water will flow from their soul, from these hearts, in the name of Jesus, as you bring alignment in their hearts, Lord, and you reveal your love to them this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lenny. We're just going to go into a time of communion. I know that God is just busy ministering to some of you, but you know, just take on your own, come to this table. As we take this communion this morning, friends, we are reminded of what Jesus already did. It's not something that he has to do. He's done it already. He's put himself, he's nailed himself to a cross that you can be free. It says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And friends, he did it for us. And this morning, as we partake of this table, we say, Lord, thank you for your body that was broken on the cross, that you nailed sickness to the cross. You nailed every disease to that cross. And we just thank God for his blood that washes whiter than snow. We thank you for the blood, the covenant that he made with us. And may we be reminded, friends, as we take this morning, that we are cleansed. God's body was broken for us. By his stripes, there's healing for us this morning. So just on your own time, come up and take some of this communion as we just thank our Savior for what he did. We can apply the finished work of the cross to areas in our lives, in our hearts.